Great. Thanks very much. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Chris Bowen. I'm one of the evangelists with Microsoft, focused in the Boston area. And I'm joined by my teammate, Brian Hitney, who will be on as well to join us to help with any questions you might have. And we want to take the hour to walk you through a lot of the work we've been doing to get you started with Windows Store application development, in particular around using APIs that provide data or services. And today, our focus will be on the Yelp API, and some starter kits that we have to help you get started with API development in general, and in particular, one starter kit that we have for Yelp as well. I want to point out as well that we have next week another webcast also focused on the starter kits on the API mashup program, and that will be focused on the Bing APIs as well. I actually believe Brian and another teammate of mine, Jim O'Neill, will be helping to deliver that. So without further delay, let's just dive right in and get started here. So the agenda, I want to walk through the world of API Mesh. This is the program that we're calling it to help you get started with API development on Windows 8 or Windows Store. We'll talk about the world of APIs that are out there. I'll introduce you to the starter kits that are available for you as a learning kits. So you can go and review those things, tools for you to get started with Windows development. We'll talk about the architecture of those starter kits, how they've been developed, and what you need to know how to understand them and how to work with them. Then we'll focus in on the Yelp API, how to get started, how to get a developer key, what it can offer to you, and how it was used to be folded into the starter kit we'll be talking about today. And then we'll focus a little bit of time on how you can take things from there, use these starter kits as things that would help you to think about what you do in your own applications, and then some ideas around controls and other ways you can work with data to create your own Windows Store app. And finally, how to get that application into the Windows Store when you're ready. And actually, throughout the entire webcast, I'll encourage you to submit any questions that you have through the Q&A panel. And either myself or Brian will be able to help you out with any of those questions that you may have. And as we have time at the end of the session today, we'll go into just full Q&A mode. All right, so let's dive right in and talk about why API Mesh. Well, really, we looked at a lot of things that were going on out there, and we realized just a ton of data out there for us. Just freely available or, in some cases, paid services that you can use to get either data, pictures, services, a lot of stuff's out there. And so it's a great way for you to get started creating your own application rather than starting from scratch and just thinking about something from the ground up. You could look at this data that's available, think about how you might customize it, how you might deliver it in a way that you could provide some unique context to make some awesome app for your own city or for a hobby that you're into. And we wanted to really give you a way to get started with learning about the moving parts and dealing with the things you might encounter as you try to create applications like this for the Windows Store. So just a couple things to point out you know, after we talk about things today, things that you can turn to for future as you continue your work with these APIs. Check with your local evangelist, myself and Brian. We have a whole bunch of other folks on the team with us covering various locations, even around the world. And there's, in many cases, more events, workshops. Some cases, we have in-office hours that you can come in and visit to get your questions answered. But I also want to point out, throughout the rest of this month, through June 30th, we have a program called Keep the Cash. It's a pretty great program. It's basically you can publish applications to both the Windows 8 store and to the Windows Phone store as well. And you submit and get an application published, you can register through this program and earn some money for those successful application publications. And that could be up to 10 applications per store, so potentially 20 apps total for Windows Store and Windows Phone Store. But you got to hurry. We've only got a couple weeks left in the program. The good news is if you follow a lot of what we got here with the API Mesh, it can really help you to get started quickly, and honestly, you have plenty of time to be able to bring an idea to completion. Especially, you know, June 30th might be a nice way for you to give yourself a little bit more motivation to finish in time. But definitely take a look at that. That's at that URL right there. So let's get started. Looking at the world of APIs out there, if you go to this site called apihub.com, there's many, many APIs that are indexed just by this one site. And there's just a lot of stuff out there. So like I said, instead of starting from scratch, you know, why not look at what data you might be able to find and utilize that? If you go to the site, in fact, I might as well go there and show you around. think I've got it up. No, I don't, but let me bring that up for you right now. API Hub. If you go here, and I'll wait for this to paint for you, just type in anything you'd like. If you're interested in, you know, food or whatever it might be, this is a very helpful site for you to surface what is out there in the world of APIs. And you know, our team looked at a number of them. We didn't look at all 13,000, but we looked at a good number of some of the more commonly recognized ones. And basically use this site and some other sites to help us surface what might be useful for you as a developer. So feel free to type in whatever you'd like here. You could find out some matching APIs there. They'll tell you a few things. They'll tell you whether you could get that data publicly. Do you need a key to access it? What kind of requests do you make in order to get that data? Typically, we're talking about a RESTful invocation. We'll show some of this to you a little bit later on. And then how do you get the data back? What kind of format will it be returned to you in? Typically, it could be an XML, which you may all know, or JSON, J-S-O-N, JavaScript Object Notation. In the case of the API MASH projects, we work with either. We have projects that use APIs that have both of those formats, and we're trying to make it as easy as we can for you to get started working with APIs that do similar kinds of functionality. So back to slides here for a second. We looked at a bunch of them, and we identified the ones that we felt were good candidates for use with as a starter kit. They had to support some kind of free use, and just being able to sign up for an account in some cases and get free access to some data or services they provide. And also along with that free use, they needed to support a reasonable number of requests per month, per week, whatever it might be, using that free account. In some cases, you will get limited by the number of requests you can make in that time period. So keep this in mind as you're looking at the APIs that you might want to use. And then also we wanted to make sure that the APIs were consistent in how they return data, either as JSON or XML, and that it was consistently and easily ready-to-use kind of format this return. So once we did that, we created a number of starter kits for you, and some of them, in fact, are true mashups. And I just wanted to define this for you. You may have heard this was a very popular term several years ago, and the idea is pretty simple. There's a lot of APIs out there, and a mashup takes two or more of those APIs and provides that data to you in some kind of new or unique way. So you could think of really anything that's out there, whether it's some mapping infrastructure that you're taking some geo-encoded data and combining them together into some useful way, which, in fact, one of the starter kits that we'll get to in a moment does that very thing. It could be anything. It could be something about your geography, about something that you know, your hobby that you're into, that you have knowledge about. Fold that in, combine two things together, and make a unique experience that would be of interest to people out there in the Windows Store and the Windows Phone Store. So I'm actually going to skip this. I showed you the API MASH, the API Hub .com site. So definitely go there and take a look. Just explore. Have fun with that. And what I want to turn our attention to now is the actual starter kit that we have. And we can look through. I won't show you all of them, but I'll show you where to get them. And also just a bit more about some of the other ones that are out there. So first of all, let me show you where to get these. And I'll take a moment just to switch over here for a bit. We'll have all these links for you, both as follow-up resources and as a slide toward the end of this session as well. But the first one to go to is our API MASH home site. This is up on GitHub. So if you go to apimash.github.io, slash starter kits. Now, the important thing is the S and the K in that title are case sensitive, so make sure that they're uppercase S and uppercase K, or otherwise you'll get a 404 error. So I'll keep that up for a second. You can either click on the tarball or on the zipball folder icon you see there, and you'll get all the starter kits downloaded to your machine, which I recommend. Or you can also click on that blue link, which will bring you right to the GitHub repository that we use to publish all of our starter kits for you. I'll go to that in just a second. I want to give you a chance to find this URL, and then we'll go ahead and click on this. So let me go ahead right to our GitHub home, and I'll show you around. This is the main place you'll see. We're up on github.com/apimash and then /starter kits. In here, you'll see a number of things. I want to point out that we have not only Windows 8, Windows starter kits, in that folder. We also are beginning a process of converting a number of the starter kits from Windows Store with Windows 8 over to the Windows Phone Starter Kit as well. We'll talk about the architecture, what these are in just a moment, but I wanted to make sure you knew where to get these things. So if you wanted to follow along or start pulling them apart and taking a look as I'm talking about these, please feel free to do that. Also important to note is the top level folder there called Lab Workbooks. If you look in there, there's actually a version of this presentation as a PowerPoint. So if you want to grab that, it's not exactly what I'm showing you today, but you can go and take that PowerPoint and use that as you will. But I'll upload these slides as well and make those available to you as a resource after this recording is done. But also in that Lab Workbook folder, there are three PDFs. These are really important. They'll walk you through a few different slices of how to use these starter kits, how to get started with them, how to think about customizing them or, you know, creating your own experience. And then also, finally, the third workbook focuses on, hey, great, I made an app, and I'm ready to publish to the Windows Store. That entire workbook three, which I might as well show it instead of just talking at the folder level, this workbook three right here will actually walk you through every step to get into the Windows Store. It won't guarantee that you'll get past certification, but we're going to point out a lot of things that will help you out to think about, things to have ready so that you have the best chance of making sure everything is ready for being successfully published to the store. So definitely follow that whenever you're ready. And by the way, it doesn't have to be an API Mesh project, a solution. It could be any application that you're working on. That workbook should hopefully be pretty helpful for you. So back to the starter kits, though, if we click on this first breadcrumb link, and I'll click into the Windows Starter Kits folder here, and I'll give it a moment to refresh your screen. Take a look here, there's probably a good 18 or so starter kits, and they're in a variety of formats. So I'll get to this in a moment. I'm not going to go through each one right now. Just wanted to make sure you knew where these were. But these are all Visual Studio 2012 full solutions, and they're working with typically one API, in some cases more than one API. And also the majority of them are based on using C# and XAML for the interface. And the remainder of them are JavaScript, HTML5, and CSS-based projects, which again, we'll talk about in just a moment. So let's get back to slides here, now that you know where things are. I just wanna go quickly through a few of them. I have just a little high-level information about each one. I have mentioned, I think, all of this stuff, the first bullet point here for you. So they're all Visual Studio 2012 projects. Make sure, by the way, to get started, you're gonna need, of course, Windows 8. They have to be obviously, you know, installed directly. You could have a dual boot scenario, boot to VHD, some kind of virtualization approach. There are even trial versions of Windows 8 that you could get that are time limited, but you could use those as well. There's also Visual Studio 2012. You will need either one of the paid versions, the full versions of Visual Studio, or you could get the Express version, but just make sure, if you get the Express version of Visual Studio 2012, make sure it's the one that says for Windows 8. There's a number of versions of Express out there. The one that will light up the features that you'll need to use for Windows Store development actually says Windows 8 in the title. So each of these kits, depending on what API they're calling, they're all gonna be doing kind of a somewhat different thing ultimately, but they are unified by a common workflow. Each of them will call one or more APIs, and then they're gonna get back some kind of data. Like I said, it's gonna be an XML, maybe in JSON, and they're gonna need to turn that into a usable format. So that is done by deserializing that data into a set of useful objects. That set of objects is then turned into something that we can do data mining with. And we're gonna use what's called model view model. We'll get into that in just a moment. And the final thing is to use controls in the interface and wire up some data binding to utilize those objects, that view model, in a way that makes the displaying, the updating, and the managing of that interface really quite straightforward. So we'll get to all these things in a moment. So just to give a little bit of visibility into each of the starter kits, I just have a few of them, probably half of them. If you look at each one of them on the GitHub site, scroll down a bit as you click into each one of them. There's a readme.md file. The MD stands for Markdown. And if you scroll down to the bottom, you're going to see just some helpful stuff to get started. It's going to give you a little bit about the kit itself, how it was made, some things that you'll need to do to get it to work, and then also some ideas around what you could do to kind of make your own app based on the API. And in most cases, I think we'll have a screenshot as well in that README file. So go ahead and take a look at any of those too. I'll show you some of these right now. So first of all, I think this is probably going to be one of the ones we'll talk about next week, the same in the same webcast series. The Bing Maps combined with TomTom API, being able to overlay points of interest using the Bing Maps API as well. I always chuckle when I get to this one, but the Chuck Norris starter kit, turns out there's an open available database of Chuck Norris related isms, kind of sayings or things like that. They're available, and you can just call into this. This is one of the few starter kits, by the way, that uses an open API that doesn't require you to have a developer API key. Most of them, Yelp included, many of the other ones, they just want to know who's calling in. They want to make sure that they can identify a calling app or a calling developer, and they could also, you know, use that to limit or open up access to various things to that application or to the developer. This is one of the examples that just works. There's no need to actually go and sign up for an account. You can just call into this endpoint and get some kind of saying back that, in this case, you can see here in the screenshot. This is one of the C-sharp-based ones, and it's actually one of the simplest of the starter kits. So if you're looking for a way to start and you don't, maybe you haven't seen much of data binding before, you're new to Windows Store development or new to the C-sharp as well, this is one of the simplest starter kits. It's not trying to do too much. There's not too much data coming back. The data binding is very straightforward. So I would recommend that you take a look at this one as a starting point. There's an earthquake starter kit, which makes me laugh as well, because it doesn't actually start earthquakes, but it does combine USGS information, some geo-encoded data about earthquakes, and combining that with Bing Maps, the Pushpin APIs as well, to help you visualize that data in a pretty cool way, again, using JavaScript. Edmunds, they expose this huge amount of data, all about vehicles, cars, trucks, whatever, there's a starter kit here that will help you to see and so you understand how that data can be called and can be consumed to various controls in a Windows Store application. So again, really kind of a cool template as well to look at. Starter kit. Meetup, you may know this for finding user groups and other events in your area. They, like many other sites out there, they have a great website with great functionality. They make that data available through their API. So Meetup has the same concept here. You can go and create a pretty cool Windows 8, Windows Store application that consumes their data, then gives it to you in a pretty cool JavaScript-based application. Messier Sky Objects, I don't know what they are, but I know they look pretty cool. So you can utilize the Messier catalog as an API and do some data binding to a list here and make a really visually compelling experience using JavaScript. Again, just a quick introduction to what these are out there. If you see one that's of interest to you, go ahead and take a look. Download all of them, and then just keep in mind that you will need to follow that README file in each one to get started. And I'll show you some of that with the Yelp one. Rotten Tomatoes, site for seeing movies, information about theaters, movies, things like that. They also have an API that you can sign up for, and you'll see this. This is actually a customization of one of the default templates in Visual Studio. If you go into File New Project in Visual Studio 2012 and go into the Windows Store templates, you'll see a grid one there. That's how this starter kit was made, just taking that default template and utilizing the API libraries that we'll talk about in a moment, wired that data up from the Rotten Tomatoes API into a grid view, into a group detail view, and to an item detail view that you can see here. So pretty cool way of seeing that template in action. There's a Wikipedia one combining a GeoNames API to get some Wikipedia information. So pretty cool starting point there if you wanted to see how to utilize Wikipedia. For those of you that have played or know of World of Warcraft, there's even one that can tell you realm status for the various servers that the World of Warcraft game runs on. Again, using JavaScript, calling out to their API to very simply to show you status of these various realms. And finally, the Yelp starter kits. I'll focus most of our time looking into this one. The key things to point out, I'll show this to you in a moment on their site, but if you go to yelp.com/developers, That's where you can sign up to get the key that you'll need. If you just run the application, if you just take, like I said, most of these starter kits, if you just take the code and run it, there's probably two things you'll run into that will prevent them from running successfully. The first is that you might need a key. You might need to show who you are. And it's usually a pretty straightforward thing. For Yelp, it's super simple. You just go sign in with your regular Yelp account and then go to their developer page and request a key. They'll give it to you. You paste it into the code where the README tells you to, and you should be able to run it and see something like this screenshot on your screen. Again, same story for many of the other starter kits. If it doesn't work, you see an error message. It's probably because it's got some kind of placeholder API key in there that you'll need to replace. I'll talk about, there's two reasons why an API starter kit might not work. The other one is because there's a library that we use that's an open source library, but we just don't include it with our shipping code. So I'll show you how to make sure that you've got that as well. Okay. So let's take a moment and talk about how the starter kits were developed, just the moving parts that are in there, the things that as you open it up and start taking a look at the code, the things you're going to see. So let's begin by taking a look at I'm going to show this entire slide quickly. If you haven't seen Windows Store development, I wanted to make sure you understood the high-level view of things before we dove into the individual projects for working with the starter kits. You have a lot of choices. The left-hand side of the screen is really how to develop these Windows Store applications. They build, like really everything out there, they build on some kind of OS-specific API. In this case, we call them WinRT, and that supports all the features that Windows 8 can expose to an application, sharing different cool things that you can do with live tiles and stuff like this, any kind of OS interaction you might want to do. We'll go through that later. Now, the really neat thing is you can utilize a variety of languages to develop your application with using that same set of APIs. So if you are coming from a .NET background, you want to leverage your knowledge in C#, Visual Basic, and pursue that route, that's perfectly great. Awesome. Go ahead and do that. You can use XAML for defining your front end, the UI, which is in fact how the starter kits work for the majority of them. There's also a newer option with Windows Store development that you can use JavaScript, HTML5, and CSS3 to create a Windows Store application that to the user looks exactly the same. They can't tell the difference. They don't know they're running an application developed with web standard technology versus C++, for example. It's just what you're more comfortable with using. Feel free to use it and publish the application all using the same mechanisms that we'll talk about in that third workbook. So once you've kind of chosen your path and your language of choice, your approach, you can begin to look at the starter kit. And they all use this kind of a flow to do their thing. It might be a little different from one to the next, but they tend to all have these four steps in their code at some point. I'll talk about the asynchronous stuff in just a moment, but for now, let's just focus on the flow. The first thing is maybe the user clicks a search button, and you need to invoke the third-party API, and you want to get some data back. So we have that in a library for you, and that will make that call for you asynchronously. At some point, you'll get the response back from that third-party site that typically returns some kind of JSON, maybe some XML, and that will be returned back to the application to a method that's been waiting to get that response. Now, to use that, we need to convert it into some kind of sets of instances of objects. And there's a bit of deserialization that goes on there. I'll show some of that to you in a moment. So that gets it into maybe one or more or collection of different objects. For example, Yelp is going to return to us a whole collection of businesses. They focus on letting you search a few different ways, and if you maybe did a search for a particular location, it's going to say, well, here are the businesses that match in that location. Here's 20 of them, and what we'll do is we'll map that JSON result into 20 instances of a business class. Now, we could use that in an application, but to follow what's called the model view model approach, or MVVM, we need to create what's called the view model. This is a bindable object model. And the idea is actually pretty simple. We want, instead of just taking everything that we got back from an API and sending it up to the UI and saying, here you go, here's everything, we want to really be specific about what we send up to that top layer. I only want to send the things that I would be expecting to either be shown or to be worked with by that actual application, by the UI, by the experience that the user will have. If you just take everything and pass it up, you might have some unpleasant surprises later on when maybe some secure information or things that you weren't planning on showing suddenly appear on a later modified version of your application, if you're working on a team, for example. To create that, we just basically take our objects as they were deserialized, we copy them into this new bindable view model, and do some simple copy kind of stuff. You know, I want these fields, put them into these properties. Right, now we have an object that we can use data binding with. I make it sound super simple, but it is easy to consume because we've taken a lot of that work and done it for you. But there is a lot of complexity that's built into these surrogates that I'll show you in just a moment. And finally, now that you have a bindable set of objects, this view model, we can just simply use built-in Windows Store app data binding functionality, whether it's something through JavaScript binding or through XAML-based data binding. We can do this to a grid view, to a list view, whatever you might want to show businesses and reviews or points of interest, whatever it might be in your application. If you look at the solutions and you open them up in Visual Studio, this is typically what you'll see for the C-sharp XAML-based starter kits. The JavaScript ones will be a little bit different because they can work a little bit more natively with the JSON that's returned and the XML that's returned by some of these APIs. So you won't exactly see this, but you'll see some kind of representation of this flow in those starter kits as well. Let's focus in on focusing on Yelp. Yelp is a C-sharp with XAML-based starter kit. It will have these three projects in the solution. And I just want to talk about them before I show them to you in Visual Studio next. So the one that's gray, the bottom right of that starter kit block, is API Mash Lib. That's just it's a fairly small library that we include in the starter kit that takes care of the first few parts of that flow diagram I showed you. It helps make that call over the wire to some API on the internet. It helps you get that response back, and it also helps you take that data and stuff it into the objects that you want to ultimately use in the application. Now that's a library it's interesting to look at, but you're not going to have to kind of pull that apart. That's something you could just kind of, you know, utilize and it just does its thing. But I recommend that you take a look at it, open up some code, and see what it's doing just so you understand what went into it and educate yourself on that process. The one right above it, that's labeled C here, API Mash, in our case will be API Mash Yelp Lib. That's where those objects that I was talking about before live. That's the object that gets created initially when we get that JSON back and we need to create some business objects and some review objects and things like that. Those all live in there. There's also a set of objects that are essentially parallel to those. Those are the bindable ones. Those are the view model. This will make a lot more sense when I show you the code in a second. But those are the ones that if you needed to call a different API or you were making some change, you would need to change those object models to reflect that new data that you wanted to either capture from the third party or pass along to the UI layer. The third project, labeled A here on the left-hand side, is the Windows 8 application itself. This is the experience that the user will see. This is where all the controls are. It's the thing that you'll spend most of your time focusing on. So you go in here, drag and drop some controls, modify some stuff around, just use it as a learning experience. The thing that you'll see out of the box is just a very simple example to see how you might utilize the data in a simple data binding context. And that's where you would focus most of your time on your own efforts to create an application. That said, let's switch over and let's take a look at the Yelp starter kit in action here. I'll walk through some of the code for you here. Let's quit out here. I'm going to Visual Studio here. And I just want to show you, before we get into code, the structure of the actual solution. So I am in the Yelp starter kit that, again, you can just download all of them from the starter kit folder. And in fact, if you're joining late, I just want to make sure you know how to find these. The easiest place to go is right here, apimash.github.io/starterkits. And just make sure the S and the K are capitalized. Download the starter kits. And then you'll be able to follow along as you wish. So let's get into Visual Studio. And if you open up that Yelp starter kit, solution, you'll see three projects. The working in the order that I talked about them in the last slide, they're from the bottom up. So the API mesh lib is the one that takes care of a lot of that networking and deserialization and all that kind of stuff for us. The one above it is specific to the Yelp library, to the Yelp API, and that has objects that we're going to use. And then the one above that is, as you can see, it's actually in bold there. That indicates to Visual Studio that that's the project that will run when I hit F5, when I press the run button in Visual Studio. So that's, of course, going to be the actual application itself with the controls and things that you'll see visually. So let's begin with looking at the lowest level, just so you know what's going on in here. I'm going to go into the API mesh lib project here, and we'll open up this invoke ES file. And just looking through here, I'm not going to walk through every piece of code here. I just want to give you a map of where to go to see what's going on here. This is actually a pretty small class. It's using some of the other classes that are in this library. And hopefully that's good enough. Yeah, I think we can see most of what we care about here. At some point, the UI, the actual application, is going to call this invoke method. And it's going to pass a type in that we're going to use to do some that data binding, that mapping of what we get back. And then we're also going to pass in a string that tells it where to make the call. Where is the third-party API that I'm calling? What string should I use to make that invocation? And the rest is taken care of for us in this lib. So you can see, you can look through here, it's going to basically set up a response. It's going to make the call, and it's going to be able to know if there was an error and set failure appropriately. So we can use this on the consuming side to say, hey, did we actually get a valid response? Did everything work appropriately? We can check this API mesh status, and if it's success, then go right ahead and use the response that we got back. Now, a couple things to point out here. This is asynchronous. So like everything in Windows 8, Windows Store development, things that could take a little bit of time. To a computer, that means 50 milliseconds or longer. Any kind of human interaction, any kind of network or storage interaction, that by definition is going to be called asynchronously. And the easiest way to think of it is you're essentially calling something and you're giving it a phone number to call you back on when that work is done. And in the meantime, you're going to go ahead and do the rest of the things that you cared about doing. So this particular application will call into this and will keep being responsive. So if people are using the application, they make a search call, you'll still be able to interact with the application. It won't freeze up just waiting for this response to come back. That's how asynchronous invocations work. I'll show you in a moment the response will actually be mapped to a method. So it should be a little bit more clear there in a moment. But basically, we're giving it a phone number. Call us back at this method when you have a response for us. The other thing to point out is what you will often run into with the starter kits in terms of something that we don't publish with our starter kits, but you will need to be aware of this. If you open the solution, and I think most of them will look like this, at least the C# ones, you'll see this Newtonsoft.json reference here. And this is actually called JSON.net. It's an open source library. You can get this and include it in your projects. We found it useful for a lot of the mapping that we need to have done from JSON and XML into these objects. So just instead of including it in our projects, we just have it as reference. And what I would recommend for you is you're likely going to see like an exclamation point in yellow here. And it will tell you, I can't find this. You're asking me to find this and it's not here. To find it and to wire it up into your project, just right-click on the references folder. And just to be extra clear on this, you will only need this in this API mesh lib project. This is the one that actually makes the calls. It's doing all the work for you to make that translation. You're going to use NuGet to get that project for you. So you can bring up NuGet, which, by the way, if you haven't used before, it's probably worth the entire time of this webcast that you've now seen it and you can utilize it as well. So you go online and just type in JSON, you should probably see as one of the first responses, JSON.net, which you can verify is James Newton King, and Newtonsoft.json is the ID here. Grab that to say install, and that reference is already set up for you, so that should fix that particular issue that you would run into. And then you should be able to run. Assuming you've got an API key, you should be able to launch that. So that's really the lowest level here. That's doing a lot of work for us. I wanted to show you the next level up, which is the data model, the object model that we're working with. So to open this up, we're going to look at API mash underscore OM for object model. Now in here, if you scroll down a bit, you're going to start to see some classes, and I'll find the one that's probably the easiest to follow along with. So for example, Yelp is going to return to us a set of businesses, and they each have sets of data along with them. And this is simply a class that can hold that data as properties, and in fact as other classes and relationships between them. So I'll show this to you in a moment. We'll go to the Yelp site and I'll show this to you. But this is mapping their JSON result into a set of classes. And you can just kind of, I won't scroll too much because it may affect the live meeting here, but you can see here, we're using essentially something that came out of the .NET 3 timeframe called data annotations, as something you might have seen from WCF. We're using it here as kind of like the person at the airport with the flashlight guiding in the airplane to the right place. So this is really us telling the JSON binding to go to the right places based on the names and the properties that are being mapped. So at the end of that mapping, we have classes and instances that contain the data we care about. The thing we then want to do is use data bindable versions of these classes that I mentioned before, the actual view model itself. So for that, you can go to the underscore bindable class. And just scroll down a bit, there's some boilerplate stuff in here that takes care of being an observable collection, notifying on updates, taking care of one-way or two-way data binding, things like that. But I just wanted to focus in on the limited time we have today on the actual item that we use for data binding. And here it is. Here's one of them called business item. It inherits a lot of stuff from this API mash OM bindable class, and it takes care of a lot of things for you. Again, I would recommend that you take a look at all this stuff so you know what went into it. So you become a better developer by knowing what's happening here. But it's pretty simple monkey code here. It's just, you know, right to left kind of copy these things in, city to this, city to that, and you get an instance of the original object, and now you've got an instance of this bindable object that you can now use in data binding. And it's very uninteresting to scroll down any further. It's just more properties that relate to the thing that you care about. So once you've got all that, we're now ready to actually use an application and consume this data. But before I do that, let me just take a moment to show you over on Yelp. If you go to yelp.com and scroll down to the bottom here, most sites actually, many sites have an API, some kind of developer portal. Yelp is of course no exception. And you click on this tiny developers link at the bottom of the page here. That will bring you to their developer portal. To get this starter kit to work for you, you're going to need to log in as somebody and then request a key. I won't show it to you here because I'd have to regenerate it after the webcast. But if you go here, you'll see it. But I would recommend that you go to the documentation and you look at these things. Now, a couple of things to point out. This starter kit actually uses the 1.0 version of the Yelp API. It's a bit simpler. Their authentication for the 1.0 API is easier for someone to kind of look at and just kind of understand. We have other starter kits that utilize the other authentication that is provided or utilized by their 2.0 API. That's called OAuth. But to keep this particular sample a little bit simpler, it just shows you how to use the 1.0. Now, you might want to look at the 2.0 API because it'll expand out the results that you can get back. It'll let you kind of do some filtering and sorting, things you can't do in the 1.0 API. But I wanted to point out, if you go to here, the search API on the left-hand side, and just kind of take a look around. Enjoy, because the starter kit only uses one of the many different features that Yelp provides developers. But if you, for example, the one that is featured in the starter kit is this searching by neighborhood, address, and city. So I click on that, and it's just telling you about the thing that you would pass on your parameter, on your request along as a web request. You would need to include your developer key. You would need to include a couple of parameters, like where are you searching? Are you searching for a particular term, like coffee, or things like that? And it will return to you a sample response. It actually returns you full JSON, but this is a sample of what you might get back from calling that API. So here, this is JSON, if you haven't seen it before. But we use just name value pairs, saying here's an address, here's that value that's bound to that item, And if you see a curly brace, it typically means it's a new class or an object that's being serialized for you. So this is great. You can definitely map this. There are some automated tools, both in full versions of Visual Studio and some online resources that will take some JSON and create C# classes for you. I don't have time to show you that. But at the end of the day, the starter kit can do this for you. And they'll take these kinds of mappings that look kind of intimidating, and we'll map it to some objects that you can use in the application. But this is really the data that you're getting back over the wire from Yelp. And as you can see, it's there's a lot of stuff here that we can utilize. So back, again, just explore as you wish. You can see there's a lot of other things that you could do with the Yelp APIs. You can provide different terms. And, of course, you could use the 2.0 version of their API, which supports even more functionality as you wish. Back into Visual Studio, let's go up to the highest level. And I just want to show you the main page.xaml. This is in this case, the starter kit just has one page to it. It just has a very simple experience with a grid that is data bound to that set of businesses that we get back from the search. Very simple, very straightforward. But if you bring up the main page.xaml file, and I've shown this side by side so you can see both the visual representation of the page and the XAML itself. Now, I won't really kind of go through everything here, but I just want to point out that the page itself is just represented by XAML controls that have been specified here, from simple text blocks for the title to a text box or two to allow you to input some data. The most important one on this page, though, is the grid view. And let me just scroll a little bit so we can see a bit more there all at once. So this is that main view right here, the main box in the UI. You can see here we do some various data binding to different templates. If you're new to data binding in XAML, there's a lot of good ways to learn this. If you go to dev.windows.com or design.windows.com, which I have the resources for you in a moment, there's some good starter kits, some SDK samples and some tutorials there to see how to do this. But this is how to define a template that then tells the application what to look like when it gets bound data. I'll run this for you in a second so you'll see what I mean. And then in the code behind this page, take a look here. Scroll down just a little bit. This is the C# file behind the XAML file. It's quite straightforward, actually. If you take a look down here, there's an invoke method. I'll pause here for a moment. So it's going to wire up a response to say, hey, when you're done, call me back here. And you'll see this on API invoke_onResponse. That method will be called once Yelp has completed and has returned our JSON to us. And we now have data to use. Here is where you're going to paste in your own developer key. So you just type that in, replace it, and you'll be able to run the starter kit and just make sure you also fix that JSON.NET reference as well. That's all in the README file, so don't worry if you've forgotten that. And we simply set up the API call using the developer key and some default search criteria. We're using that business by location search. We invoke it, and then we get a response. Let me show you the response all at once here. And there we go. When we get called back, we will have, assuming everything works successfully, we'll have some data that we can do data binding with. We can do, in this case, to the grid view is going to, let me highlight that for you right here. The grid view is going to define its item source as that collection of business group items that we got back. So it's a collection of businesses. We're taking all the items that we got back, and we're going to do some data binding of those to the grid, and you'll see all of that. I run that, which I can use with the local machine option here. You can also use things like a simulator to use different screen resolutions to a remote machine if you need to. In fact, you know what? I'll use simulator. It'll let me show you something else that I can't do normally at a very small resolution that I'm presenting in. So if we go here, it's going to run the application inside the simulator, which is actually on your own machine. Again, there's just some replaceable kind of content here that you might want to modify. And, you know, this is just an example, by the way. So, definitely you can do a much more polished kind of experience here than the sample here. But by default, we're searching for coffee in Boston. We got back a bunch of results here. They are data bound using those templates that I mentioned before, the item display templates. And this is the Yelp API data. Now, I wanted to point out one thing that's really important on this particular example here. You see there's a powered by Yelp button. This is the importance of reading all the terms of use for every API that you're using. For example, Yelp has a request that if you use and display their data, that you provide some kind of visual link and a pointer back to them as the provider of the data. So here I have a button, and if people click on that, they can go right to the Yelp.com site. But definitely read the terms of service of any of the APIs that you're using, because in some cases they might say that you can't make money without, you know, maybe purchasing a version of their API service, or you have to give them credit in a certain way, or what have you. Just don't be surprised that you know, you get shut off or get some kind of nasty gram or something if you haven't done everything that you should based on the terms of service. So definitely do your homework on those things. But here, again, it's a simple display of that result in the running application here. Let me close that down and go back into Visual Studio. We'll stop here. Again, just a starting point for you. Many of the starter kits do something like this, with the data binding with the three different projects, and I wanted to make sure that I was able to show all those things to you. We have a few more minutes, and I wanted to get back and just walk you through a few more things. And actually, I should pause for just a moment in case I've been talking nonstop here. In case, Brian, if there's any questions that came up that were useful to answer at this point. Otherwise, we can just hang on for the end. Are we all set at this point?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I know you probably need to get a sip of water or something after that. It's a long run, but great stuff. Really, the only question that we had was where to put the API key, and I noticed that question actually comes up quite a bit because since so many of us work on these projects, you know, I know sometimes maybe we're not exactly consistent with where we put these API keys in our project. So I know that some of the feedback we've gotten is that, you know, how it's a little bit different with each project. But we did go ahead and answer that. It is in the main page in the starter kit project. I think I even said it was on line 62. And I saw actually right after I answered it, you were scrolling, you know, you were working right in that area of the project. But otherwise, great stuff, and I think we're good to go.
All right. Thanks a lot. Okay, so I'm going to go quickly through the remaining slides. I really just wanted to, this was never intended to make you an expert on the various things. Data binding like itself could be an entire session. But just as you're looking through the code, just keep an eye on these things. You're going to see some variation of this slide, the structure on the slide. You're going to see a binding source, a binding object, and a binding target, the property that's being bound to. And you won't have to kind of create this to get it working in the starter kit. That's all done for you. But I want you to look for these things as you're pulling it apart to see how things work so you can educate yourself on how to do this for your own application. But basically, it's going to provide for ways to do the data binding either in a one-way read-only form or in a bidirectional two-way way where you display and provide for updates to the data as well. That is a standard kind of concept in Windows Store apps. And I'm probably doing it a big disservice by only spending 1 minute on it, but I could definitely recommend some of the things I'll point to you for resources in a moment to learn more about this. I'm equally going to go quickly through this next couple set of code slides as well. Just things to think about as you've got an API in mind, you're ready to go, you want to make an application. How do you get started? So you may have seen some variation of this. Just some things that you could use to light up Windows 8 in your application. My recommendation on this slide is to go to a site called design.windows.com. It's much more interesting than this slide. In fact, I can go to it right now. It's somewhere over here. My desktop. It is right here. This site. If you go to design.windows.com and just start scrolling down a bit, I'll stop right here so the screen can update. You'll see things like design principles, do more with less, win as one, fast and fluid. This isn't just, it's not a documentation site. It's much more than that. There's whole sample applications. There's some really good things to think about to give you a visual way of understanding what you could do in a Windows Store app. So I know it can be a little intimidating at first if the only thing you've seen is like the requirements for a Windows Store app. This is a much more refreshing way to look at things. You can see there's sample apps. There's some things that kind of challenge maybe what you think of as a Windows Store app. And in many cases, actually, you can download a sample application that shows you how to do something like the thing that's being shown to you. So again, design.windows.com, a super useful site for these kinds of references here. And again, inspirational stuff. I will refer you to, there are some SDK samples that show you the whole world of controls that you have accessible to you, whether you're using XAML or whether you're using JavaScript with CSS. There are built-in controls. There's the whole world of open source and third-party controls that you can use. But I just want to point out, there's a lot that are built-in, so it's worth your time to understand not only what they are, but what they can do, how they can do data binding for you, and also things like this. You can see how you can customize their appearance using the same kinds of things that are we've already talked about, like data binding in XAML. You could bind to a different style and have a really cool visual impact and a theme that you could provide throughout your experience just by reusing these same controls in a different way. And there's many, many more controls from text editing and stuff like that. I wasn't going to take any time to show you this stuff. Just your homework is to take a look at controls that are out there. There's some great SDK samples that we'll show you around the whole world of controls that are there, from popping up the keyboards and stuff like that to text editing with spell checks and stuff like that. Commanding, this is an interesting thing too, again, from the design site. How do you offer features without having them always be on the screen every moment of the user's time using your application? It's a lot of cool things to think about here, from app bars to flyouts and settings, things like that. Utilize these. They are hallmarks of great Windows Store applications. They're not, take my word for it, they're not as intimidating as they might seem to you. There are just controls that you can utilize that really add some polish to your application. And finally, just a few things to think about in terms of presenting your data. The starter kits will do this variously for you. You can use certain controls like a list view or a grid view or a flip view as a high-level container for visualizing maybe the API data that you've got or combining the data in unique ways. Things you want to think about, those three controls are very important to understand. Semantically zooming your content. You get a lot of data back from an API and you want to make it more easily visible at a high level. Look up semantic zoom and see how it's utilized. It's used throughout Windows. You can see it like on the start screen itself. If you just pinch a screen, you can see it actually contextually changing how it shows your data. And finally, you want to think about designing your application for different perspectives, being shown in what's called snap view, where it's on the side of the screen, or perhaps on a device that's been rotated into a portrait perspective. You can test this out. I showed you the simulator super quickly, but it's in Visual Studio, and if you want to test those things, you don't have a machine that can do it for you, the simulator is going to be a great way for you to do that. Next, it is up to you. Go and create. Like I said, we've got those three workbooks for you. Workbook one will help you understand using a starter kit. We'll read the README file, seriously. Go to Yelp.com to create a developer key and sign up so you have access to using their data and their services. Add it into the project, and don't forget to add that JSON.NET in the project that need it. And as a first part, understand what went into the starter kit. Second, think about your own apps. Customize them. Think about new APIs or different APIs that you want to call. By looking at the starter kits, you'll see how we did it, and hopefully that's going to make whatever you want to do that much easier for your own APIs, your own apps, and your experience. Be creative. And finally, when you're ready for it, that third workbook is really great. It's a nice, very detailed, lots of screenshots, walkthrough of how to get from creating a developer account on dev.windows.com to reserving your application's name, which is an important part of the process, and ultimately to submitting the application, packaging it up with Visual Studio and submitting it into the store. And don't forget, by the way, if you do actually publish the application, you'll get an email back with the URL to it. Just paste that into that program I mentioned before, the Keep the Cache program. If you just do a quick search for Windows Store Keep the Cache, you'll find this program, and you can earn some money potentially through that program for your apps. Here are some resources. At this point, I don't have a ton of time left, but we'll switch over to any remaining QA that you have. I will point these out for you. You get the starter kit here, the dev and design site, super, super useful. And I'll, at the bottom there's some good places that you'll find other recorded content. In fact, just go to channel9msdn.com/events and remove the trailing stuff. That will show you all of the events that have been recorded on that site. I think you'll find some useful things there. Okay, so, Brian, the quick time that we have remaining, is there anything else remaining for QA? And if you have a question, just put it in the QA window.
Yeah, please do. We'll, in fact, even if we finish up here, if we have any remaining questions, we will we'll be happy to handle them, even if we run over on time. One question that's outstanding right now, and I've been talking with Susan back channel, who Susan is our awesome marketing coordinator, by the way, another person behind the scenes here. But one question is for the Keep the Cash program, do the applications actually have to be in the store by June 30th or simply submitted? And the answer to that is they do need to be published in the store by June 30th. So admittedly, it's getting down to the wire, especially because it can take up to 5 days to get through content compliance. Now, I've had a number of apps published recently, and fortunately, it tends to go a good bit quicker than that, but you never know, and I assume it's just going to get busier as we get up closer to as we get closer to the deadline. So,
yeah, definitely. Thanks for pointing that out. Also, did you want to share anything about the webcast? I think you're doing it next week, right?
Yeah, so next week we're going to be diving into some of the other starter kits, specifically talking a little bit more about the JavaScript side of it and the HTML, which in my experience I do a little bit of both, but I have been finding the JavaScript stuff a little bit easier to work with in terms of requesting data and dealing with it. It's just a little bit more cut out for that kind of stuff. But we'll be diving into Bing Maps and showing you how to mash up some of that data, and we'll have a bunch of good examples for how to do that. Tons of opportunities for good map type apps, between the traffic cameras and the earthquakes or both. it'd be a lot of cool opportunities to mash things up. No, there's really amazing numbers of ways we can mash up this data.
Absolutely. And just for folks, I didn't put it on the slide, but if you go to that site, apihub.com, there's more than enough APIs out there to probably find something that is a hobby of yours or an interest of yours so you can get started. And hopefully take some time to understand these starter kits to see all the moving parts and how you could use them in your own apps. Any further questions in the pipe there?
Yeah, a whole bunch. We'll continue to go through them as we go through. Chris, I know we have our own page up on Channel 9, right, that houses all of these previous webcasts.
Oh,
is that?
Yeah.
You happen to know what that is? I don't quite remember it off the top of my head. I know. I'm thinking I know. I've been there.
We'll promise, as a follow-up for this, we'll send out some resources, including the relevant links, including that. If you do go to Channel 9, we have a place where you can track a lot of this API MASH-related content that we have for you. But promise, we'll get that to you in some fashion.
All right, excellent. I think that's it. We have other questions here, but I know we're a little bit over time, so I think what we'll do is we'll just follow up in the Q&A panel as we wrap up.
Fantastic. Well, Brian, thanks for your help, and thanks, everyone, for taking your time to join us. And good luck with everything, and definitely reach out to your friendly evangelists for any kind of help in office hours and other events as you're looking to get into the Windows Store or to the Windows Phone Store as well. Thanks again.